Yep. Court is now in session. Good morning, everyone. When Evan was talking about traditions, one of the traditions that I've done is making peanut brittle. And Ruby and I came up yesterday in the town and to do some grocery shopping and stuff. And then I was looking for peanuts, and we went to like half a dozen places to finally find raw peanuts, and finally found some. So I'm happy to keep on the tradition. So, what I wanted to share today is back in July, I watched an episode of 60 Minutes, and they basically interviewed a guy. Howard, if you want to bring up the first slide, it was about the Ritchie Boys. And it was about the Ritchie Boys were a group of young men, obviously in World War II, but they were German Jews within the United States. And they played a great role in helping the Allies win World War II. And that's what the program was about. And they interviewed about three or four different people. But there was one guy in particular that there was something that he said later in his interview that I really thought I wanted to share, because I think it really relates to our walk here as believers and Christians in our walk in life and with God. Camp Ritchie, as I said, was where they went to. A secret military intelligence center that was in, and the way they would call it Ritchie Boys was called Camp Ritchie. And it was in Maryland. It was basically to serve as an army intelligence on frontline intelligence. They actually literally went with combat troops and then infiltrated things because they spoke German. He interviewed Guy Stern, is the guy that I wanted to focus on. And go ahead, Howard, with the next one. And at age 15, and basically 1937 is when he left. His family was obviously seeing some of the issues because he was Jewish with the Nazi regime focusing on Jews, and that came very hostile to the Jewish community. So his family said, "We're going to send one of you back," and he chose Guy as his name, Guy Stern. And at age 15, he got shipped to the United States and stayed with an uncle. So it was 15 years that he was here, and then obviously 41, Pearl Harbor happened, and we got into World War II. He enlisted at age, he was 19 years old at the time. So he enlisted, and that's where he went to Camp Ritchie, because they did this thing. The U.S. military basically said, "Hey, we need some intelligence from people that, and then know how to speak German and get those nuances from the German since they lived there." So the Guy Stern was interviewed, and go ahead, Howard, with the next one. That's what he looked like when he entered in World War II. That's him today. He's 100. When they interviewed him, that was, and I think they probably actually interviewed him in early part of 2022. At that time, he was 100. He was working actually at the Holocaust Museum in Farmington Hills, which I didn't realize was in Farmington Hills till later. But as they were interviewing him, and like I said, he's one of the three or four people that they interviewed, but the guy from 60 Minutes asked him, actually, let me go back a little bit. As he was doing this infiltration and getting back, he, you know, entered in Germany eventually in all this. And he went back to his hometown where he had gotten shipped from, grew up, and found that, you know, his family was, the whole city was decimated pretty much from bombing, et cetera, from the war. But, and he found that his family was either killed in Warsaw, Poland, or in Auschwitz, one of the two places. He had a brother, sister, and his two parents that didn't survive. And he was the only one to get out. And the interviewer asked him, did you ever ask yourself why, or why me? And this is his response. He said, yes, even last night, there ain't nothing special about you. But if you were saved, you got to show what you were worthy of it. And that has been the driving force of my life. And I kind of took that as a little bit from the aspect of being saved, okay? And as Christians, we're saved. As we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're saved. But I also thought that his response of being worthy of it and being the driving force of his life, that really is our walk as a Christian. Total as a as we progress in our maturity levels and our walk with Christ, that we're doing that as a walk of the life. And now, as we were saved, you know, I kind of looked at salvation as having three tenses, as in past, present, and future. The past is when we've accepted Christ. We're converted by the grace of God. We've accepted that gift from God of being Christ dying on our behalf. And we accept for that. But we're saved, quote, from the penalty of sin. We're forgiven. The future is when we meet Jesus, either in death or when he comes back. While we're still alive, we're saved eventually for the very presence of sin, because there won't be sin when we get to the heaven. But I want to focus on the present, and that really is where we study, pray, and worship, and serve as we are increasingly saved by the power of sin. So as one of the things I've shared before is that we quote, sin less. But like what Guy Stern said, if being saved is show that we're worthy of it, and I think this is reflective of our walk in the present time of being saved. Now realize that, you know, we can't earn our way to salvation. But if we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verses 8 and through 10, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But I wanted to look at a little bit as you look at verse 10. In Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we do have to do something. We're not, you know, being a Christian isn't a spectator sport. It's getting involved. It's doing something. And if you read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 kind of does the same thing. Let's see. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, you're working out your salvation. You're doing things for, not for the forgiveness of our sins or for our salvation, but because we have been saved, just as what Guy said, because we have been saved, you're trying to be worthy of it. And then in James, James chapter 2, or 1, and I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then 1 in chapter 2. He basically goes on that, in James that faith without deeds is of no value. Now, I'm not sure that I agree with that 100%, but I do agree that something needs to happen. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And I think that's where the works part of it comes in. And then if you go into chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, he goes on to a little more detail there. It says, in the same way, faith itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. So I think that they go hand in hand. Your faith is shown by what we accomplish and what we do. Second Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we're created in Christ to do good works, to act according to his good purpose, and to do what the word says. So renewal creation, as you're accepted Christ, not as a result of works, but for works. It's not result of what we've done, but what we strive to, because we do it for works. And one thing that I want to also bring up is that we're human, and we understand that, we have frailties, and we have different levels of maturity and many different talents. But our walk is a process and a journey. It's not an event. It's a lifetime. Really, it's a lifetime event or a lifetime process. We're trying to do what God wants us to do. And just whether you have, whether you enjoy cooking, sports, whatever, music, you have to work at it. You don't just sit on the sidelines expecting the things to happen. You work at it. Bill has been teaching the fruits of the Spirit in class, and that's one thing that we need to work at, is applying those fruits of the Spirit, as Bill has taught, in our lives. Face kindness, self-control, I don't remember all of them, but those are things that we need to apply in our lives and work at doing. Now I'm going to share some scripture, and I'm going to read them, but I think as I share that, those that I share will really reflect of what Guy has said, worthy of being saved and living the driving force in his life. I think these will apply to that too. But it also applies to what we and elders have come up with for our vision statement, in growing into the knowledge of and love of God, committed to unity, pursuing godly character, and becoming the hands and feet of Jesus. I think they all apply in some way, shape, or form. So let me start out with James chapter 1, verse 27. And this one's kind of in general, has kind of a general statement, but also has a specific thing. And it is, religion that God, their Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That falls under our two categories in our vision statement. Becoming the hands and feet of Jesus by taking care of orphans and widows. And it also has to deal with pursuing godly character. As he said, keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. And we go into chapter 1 Peter, chapter 13, and First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Again, that falls in, we're doing something. It says, be holy in all that you do. We're doing something. Be holy falls under the aspect of being godly character. Set your hope mentions about the knowledge and love of God. Being self-controlled falls under godly character. And we go back to Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Again, good deeds, something action that we're doing. And then love that is shown is showing the love of God. And then First John. Chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Again, that has to do with the love of God in it. And then Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where some of our vision statement was based on earlier in chapter 4, but this continues on. It helps with that. In chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, godly character. And then in Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That falls pretty much, deals with all our four entities in the vision statement. And it's what Bill's been sharing. It talks about fruits of the Spirit. Goes along with that. Then I want to share, and I know I've read a lot of verses, but I think they all gives the intent of what I'm trying to say is that it's a walk, and that they all fall in what guy had talked about of being saved and being the driving force in your life. But these are, there's three of them, but I'll read only two. But they're a good summation of what we're trying to do as a Christian and what we're trying to do as we walk with Christ. One being 2 Peter chapter 1, and then I'll go to that. Romans 12 is one, and I'll leave that to you as Romans 12 to read on your own, because I think that entails a lot of different things that we can apply in our lives. And that's one thing that, like Bill's been in class mentioning, is how can we apply this in our lives? And I think that's what we can look at, and look at Romans chapter 12 and take some of those things and how we can apply those. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3-8, and then 10-11. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail or fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that kind of deals with the present and future that I talked about earlier, you know, being saved. And then in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Again, this is kind of a summation of reminding the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Again, to do whatever is good. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show humility towards all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in a malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God of our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And that's where I think the what Guy had said, and it was eye-opening to me of what he said, and I think that's what I wanted to share, is that we all have abilities and talents and our walk, but we also have ability to help people and to strive in doing good and being worthy of what our faith shows, and bringing and showing that it's a driving force in our lives, and being worthy of that. So, as we go, let us Stand and sing, Bill. Thank you.
Left turn.